Evening on a subject that I believe the Lord has opened up for us to discuss tonight, and the title for our teaching is The Deception of Idols. The Deception of Idols. And in the closing statements of 1 John chapter 5, the Epistle of John, he ends in verse 21 to God's people, in which he says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." He says, "Keep yourselves from idols." And as we know, idolatry was Israel's main problem. And human nature and the heart of man doesn't really change. And we just see today that idolatry is just as rife, but on a universal level, in that sense where, of course, God was speaking primarily just to the nation of Israel at that time. But behind every idol is a demon. And let's make no bones about that. Behind every idol is a demon. And that is why the deeper life teaching in nature is a teaching of deliverance. It's a teaching where it's not only teaching us and building us up in faith to believe God, but it's also teaching that is delivering us from idols. And of course, the biggest idol can be self. And this is why the Lord makes much about the cross, that we too are to daily take up and follow the Lord. But John says in his epistle, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." And this is something that we should be conscious about. It is something that we should talk about and pray about, and be aware of how the enemy tries to trick us in every way and form. And as I said, behind the deception of idols is a demon. And that demon is trying to get you to fall down and worship Satan. Now, dealing with the deception of idols, in many ways it means that we replace our love and our affection for the object we wish to own, or we even want to submit to or to worship. In other words, that's what an idol is. It's replacing our love and affection for Almighty God and putting that affection and desire for some other object, something we wish to obtain or have or submit to or to worship. And this can work in the most deceptive ways. I know saying it is one thing, but how it manifests itself in the world is quite another thing. And behind all of these deceptions lies demons. And what I really want to hone in on tonight is idolatry in relationships. Because much of this disunity to be found, sadly, in the body of Christ is as a result of idolatry, of idols. Idols will hinder and stop true unity and fellowship in the body of Christ. And it works in the most subtle ways. And we're going to look at this tonight as to how the enemy tries to deceive and hold us in these areas. Now, it's interesting that Jesus never fell for this. Even in his temptation, when he went into the wilderness there for 40 days to be tempted and tried, he never succumbed. He never fell to those idols, those temptations, of course, which was behind it, was Satan himself, appealing to the flesh, appealing to the intellect, and to logic and so forth. No, Jesus never fell for this. He never fell for it with people either. And in John chapter 2, verses 24-25, John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, here is where Jesus discerns the heart of man. And in it he says, actually we'll go from verse 23 of John 2. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man, or what was in man's heart. Now, of course, he's putting it in the context here. They've seen some miracles. They've seen where Jesus has provided in that sense. So it says many believed. We know also that many followed him, but followed him for the wrong purpose, for the wrong reason. But we note that Jesus didn't commit himself to anything, anyone. He didn't commit himself to man, because he knew all men. Now one might raise the question, did he commit himself to the disciples? Yes, he did, and he committed himself to the followers of Jesus. But he was not deceived by them. And there's the difference. You see, God is delivering us from misconceptions. He's delivering us from delusionment and false impressions, which result very often in a false judgments and deception, plainly calling it confusion. We're often confused because we're disillusioned. We have a false impression, or we have a false judgment and discernment about a situation. This is why the Holy Spirit has come, not only to teach us and lead us and guide us and to teach us his word, but also he's come as a discerner to open our eyes, to deliver us from ourselves, because so often we are our own worst enemy. We deceive ourselves, and of course the enemy gets in on that, and of course he will use it like he does. But we don't have to work at deceiving ourselves. This is why the Bible says that we're not only to be hearers, but doers of the word. If we simply just hear the word, if we simply just come along either to a meeting like this tonight or when we have our meetings on Sunday and you just simply listen to it and listen to the teaching and it doesn't change you, then you are deceived. And we've had much teaching about that. There's a deceiving spirit that works behind that. Because the word that we hear must cause us to act sooner or later. In its nature, the anointing that anoints the word of God is in its nature in a way that it has to produce and bring forth fruit, faith. It's active, always in nature. And so we're being delivered from this because often these idols are behind it. So when we are deceived or we get these false impressions or we make a false judgment or deception, we're often drawn into that, deceived by that, because what's lying behind our lives still very often is idolatry. Now, in the case of relationships, God is bringing us to a point where we see people as they really are. In other words, God's going to show and open our eyes to all the warts and embellishments and all the things that sadly what sin has wrought in our lives, in humanity. God has a way of opening our eyes so that we see these things full on. Not only in our lives, which he is delivering us from, because if you desire to change, if you desire to bow your knee before God for healing, deliverance, change, that is a sign of the new birth in your life. If you don't want these changes and you want to remain in your sin and unforgiveness and so forth, you have to question whether you're actually saved. And that is putting it bluntly. But those who are saved and redeemed and who know that new birth in their lives and hearts, there is a desire there for change, to do it God's way. And in the case of relationships, God is bringing us to a point where we see people as they really are, yet without any criticism, cynicism, or bitterness. And there is the difference. You see, God opens our eyes to these things. God opens our eyes so that we can pray one for another if we see weaknesses in a brother or sister. Yet in our prayers and intercessions, where we're seeing that weakness, we are not to be critical or cynical or bitterness or unforgiveness. And there is the difference. You see, many of the things that inflict us and even vex us is that we suffer from illusions. In other words, we can deceive ourselves. In other words, we're not true to one another, seeing each other as we really are. It is so easy to elevate Christians. It's so easy to elevate a ministry or a minister. And this is why so many in professing Christendom get deceived by these men and these women whom they make idols out of. They have deceived themselves. They have allowed a false impression of this person or this church or this ministry or whatever it is. How do we know this? Because we know so many are running from meetings to meetings, getting more and more deceived. They are, in other words, their own worst enemy. because they don't want to see humanity as it really is. They don't want to see that, yes, at the end of the day, that man, that woman is just a human being, is someone who's saved by the mercy and grace of God. They don't want to see that. Somehow they are elevated as somebody special, different to me, or whatever it is. And how the enemy uses this. We've got to see each other as we really are, but we also see one another as that new creation in Christ Jesus, unless the Holy Spirit shows otherwise. You see, the reason that we can be deceived in these areas is because we look at somebody we love, or we look at somebody we admire or we respect and adhere to, but we don't want to see that there are weaknesses, that God is also working with their character and personality. He's working obedience with them. We have this false surrender. We allow ourselves to be deceived because we're making an idol out of that person. And so we can't really see any wrong in them. Not that we are to see any wrong. That is not our motive. But if the Lord opens our eyes to pray for a brother or sister, he does so for a reason. But you don't use that against them. It is wrong to use things, particularly of the past, what we've been redeemed from, and to use it against a brother or sister. It is simply revealing that if you use that against them, I question whether you yourself are actually redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Because if you know forgiveness, if you know salvation, if you know in your heart that God first loved you, you do not hold the past against your brother or sister. Because this hinders true fellowship and unity in the body of Christ. And not only that, but it is fearful when you take communion. If you are still holding resentment, unforgiveness against a brother or sister, you are heaping on yourselves judgment, as the scripture is absolutely clear. And I make that very, very clear very often when we're having communion. And many times, the reason that we can't forgive or we don't want to forgive is because that person I love, or that person I married, or my father or my mother doesn't come up to my expectation. In other words, they are not perfect before me, which I expect them to be. Now that is idolatry. And what is behind that motive is a demon. And that is why you cannot fully surrender to God and put him first, because it is his in Exodus 23, you have no other gods except me. The reason that they don't have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because they've made idols of other things. And not only do they make an idol, and very often it's a person or whatever it would be. It can be your own child, it could be your son, your daughter, whatever. You've made an idol of them because you see them as perfect. And you expect them to be perfect. And you expect them to do what you hope them to do. Until eventually that idol comes tumbling down, and you realize that you have been deceived in your expectation, and you've woken up to the fact that they are human, a sinner saved by grace. And this is why many marriages fold up, This is why marriages are not lasting today. One in three marriages break up because of this idolatry, this mentality that what I'm marrying, he must be perfect, she must be perfect, he must provide all my needs. He must have the perfect job. He must provide the perfect house for me. And so it goes on and so it goes on. Because you see, idolatry in someone leaves idolatry in other things. The reason people have idols of cars, homes, clothes, you name it, is because they're looking to someone as an idol in their life. And when they find that these idols do not suffice, do not really bring that true peace, inner peace and joy, that is then when depression starts to set in. And this is why we have such depression in society now. It's epidemic. Because of these problems. You see, much human suffering with Christians is a refusal to be set free in this area. They're disillusioned. They don't want to be set free from that idol of sin. Because always behind an idol, there's always a bowing down to it and there's sinning to it. And this is why in relationships, if you love someone more than God, we demand that total perfection, as I've been saying. And you want that righteousness from that person. And when we don't get it, what happens then? We start to become cruel, vindictive, divisive. And we will react in the way that we do anything but showing the love of Jesus. That's what it does. You see, no human being can be like that. Only the Lord can fulfill, you know, the depths of the human heart. Even animals don't have that. Only humans can be fulfilled by the love of God in the depths of our heart. Human beings cannot give that to us. And that's what we react to. Idols want that. Idols lust for that. You see, because only God is our true idol, our true God. He is the only one who can fulfill that depth within us that no human flesh can give. This is why idols try to counterfeit. They want that place in your heart that only God can have. That's why God came against idolatry with Israel, and he comes against it in the house of God as well. Because idols are trying to take that place in your heart and affection that is only the place for God. That's why it's so serious, brothers and sisters. You see, God knows that every human relationship that is not based on faithfulness to him will end in disaster. That's why true faith relationships are based on faithfulness. That we are faithful to one another. We are faithful in our attitude, our heart, our motive to each brother and sister. We're still at times falling in and out of love with each other. One week, we're fine, and then if something happens or something says, we fall out of love. And sadly, it still goes on in our fellowship. But what eradicates all of that, even if we're tested in the area of love with our brother and sister, and we will be, but what eradicates all of that is faithfulness. As God is faithful, so he calls each of us to be faithful to him and to be faithful to my brother and sister. And if it means I pray or intercede for a season for my brother and sister, then you do it. They are the signs of faithfulness, as God is also faithful. Because you see, if our relationships are not based on faithfulness and love, firstly to Him, then the whole lot will end in disaster. And that's not rocket science. So we have to draw from God His love, a love that will forgive, a love that will reach out and touch the unlovable. God's love is not haughty. God's love is not gregarious, or just choosing certain people to love and not others. God's love is the same for each and every one of us. And that's what's so wonderful about it. And that's why we can only draw it from Him. But you see, the deception of idols is to always try and hinder and destroy fellowship in the house of God. And very often, where fellowship is being hindered or trying to be destroyed, you will often find that idolatry is behind it. And idols are sin. And God is really, really very aware of all of this, same as He was with the children of Israel. You see, this is why Jesus trusted no one. And He never placed His faith in people. Never place your faith in a person, because they will let you down. Even your husband, your wife, or the closest person to you, never put your faith in them, because they are human and they will let you down. And not only will they let you down, but you will let them down as well, eventually as well, because it works both ways. In any relationship, it takes two to tango. And always remember that. And Jesus trusted no one. And He never placed His faith in people, yet He never also rejected them either. Or was He ever suspicious or hateful? You know, it's horrible in the house of God when you have saints who become suspicious of someone. That is a wrong spirit. And yet at times we do it. True love doesn't do that. True love will just get on its knees and pray and intercede. That's what it does. You see, Jesus trusted God's grace and what it could do for people. And we likewise need to trust in God's faith, which is not only over my life, your life, but also what it can do for others as well. That is why we appeal to the grace and mercy of God, always in our prayers and intercessions. And when we pray one for another, or we pray for our family, or those that don't know Jesus, we trust in God's grace, because Jesus did. And we never give up. We don't give up in despair, which sometimes we do. Oh, well, I can't cope with this. I'm just going to leave and hand them over to God. Let God deal with them. How many times have we said that? Maybe not verbally, but in our hearts. No, 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 no. Love never gives up. It believes the best, hopes for the best, endures for the best, stays with it, while the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and anoint. That's the whole point. You see, idols will hold you in relationships that are not based on Jesus. And any relationships, yes, even in the house of God, where it's not based on the love of Christ, that idol will hold you in deception. And you will have a wrong view. You will have a wrong understanding. You won't see clearly, because the nature of idols is blinding. The nature of idols is to all while fighting to take your eyes away from Jesus and to look to that person. That's what it does, you see. And so we have to be on our guard on these things. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, where is Jesus in this? Is he center in this relationship? Is he center in this friend that I know? Where is Jesus in everything that I do for the glory of God? Where is he placed in this whole situation? That should be the desire of our hearts. This is why we trust in the Lord. This is why we commit these things in the Lord. This is why we commit the day into God's hands. This is why we believe that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because all of these things that we've learned over the years teaches us that Christ is center in everything. And that is where the joy and peace and blessing and harmony and everything and more and fellowship can be based from. And when Jesus is present in everything, there's that joy, that peace, that love. Not discord, lies, arguments, strife, and all these things. The Bible tells us that they are in nature demonic, that go on, and sadly they go on in churches. But that's not to be found with us. And this is why God presents discipleship, because discipleship is teaching us to let go of everything so that Jesus is center of our whole entire life and being. We talk much, don't we, about the end times, and we are indeed living in the end times, and we're seeing things happening. But I want us just to turn to the book of Revelation, and here in Revelation chapter 9, it gives a description of the times of when Jesus returns. And what we're going to read here, we very much see is around us now. And in the context of Revelation 9, here it's speaking about the trumpets sounding, and in the sixth trumpet, which speaks of the angels from the Euphrates, this of course is to come, but we note the conditions of the time of this. And if we take it up in verse 20 and 21 of Revelation 9, and it says here, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So all these things that God is allowing in the last days, in the tribulation, the great tribulation, it's all in nature to try and deliver man from these dumb idols that he worships. That's the reason. And listen what it says in verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Even through what is taking place in the Great Tribulation, and nobody wants to be there, left behind at that time, yet we read here, they love their idols so much that they don't want to repent. And that is the nature of idols. Idols stop you from trying to repent. Idols hold behind pride. And this is why God is dealing with pride like he is in this assembly. Because as we're bowing this knee and humbling ourselves before God, that is getting rid of these idols that deceive us. We've already been talking much about these idols. We've been talking about how idols work in relationships and how they deceive. And so that is what God is doing. So our humbling before God, and as we humble before him and we walk the way of the cross each day, what it's doing is causing us to let go. And the reason that we don't always let go, we're finding it hard to let go, is because we still like to be deceived. We still like to hold on to the illusions of idols, because it appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the pride. I like it. I prefer it more to God. We don't say that, but in our actions, that's what we do. And of course, the biggest idol is money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And so, idolatry very often will be behind money, because money can buy those things that you lust for. This is why God is making pure hearts out of us. And in order to have these pure hearts, our deliverance is, so often, as we're told, is that simply letting go. It's yielding over to the Spirit so that we obey him and do it his way. But none of this can happen unless we deal with these situations in our lives. And we'll know if we're dealing with these situations, these idols in our lives. How will we know? The sign of it will be our love for each other. Our unconditional love for each other and our unity and oneness in the body will be a clear sign of how we're dealing with idols in our lives. If you're still moody with your brother and sister, or if you're in love with them one minute and out of love the next, or if you're holding resentment and unforgiveness, even if it goes way, way back, they are signs you still have idols in your life. And behind those idols is not only sin, but is pride. And that will hinder you from true fellowship and oneness. Because those idols in your life are looking to your brother and sister, and those idols and expectation within you are expecting them to be perfect, to be righteous, to come to how I want them to be. You know, when we put it in those terms, it sounds very, very arrogant, doesn't it? But that's subtly how it works. And then when we find they don't come to our expectation and what I demand and what I want, that is then when we react. And we can become cruel, hostile, aloof, cold, moody. All those traits that sadly can still be seen in each of us. But brothers and sisters, if we stay with this, God is going to deliver us, so we're no longer deceived by any idols. And that the love of Christ can flow through us and out into this world, touching other lives, because by the fruit they will be known. We want to see the greater works, don't we? And we talk about it much. It is not rocket science to see what motivates those greater works, and that is the love of God. And the only way we're going to stay with this, brothers and sisters, and be delivered in these last days, is that we too are faithful. As God is faithful, so we are faithful. And we remain faithful to our fellowship and to each other, whether we're tried in it or not. Whether we were battling unforgiveness, resentment, or whatever it would be, I will be faithful because I have put my hands to the plow. I am a disciple. I am not looking back. I am plowing forward. And by the grace and mercy of God, I will come to that place where I will be able to embrace even my enemy. That is what God is doing. And it is from that where the greater works are going to come. It is that where God is building his true body, the body of Christ again in these last days, that is coming back, being restored back under true apostolic faith and forgiveness. Anything other than that will not stand in these last days. This is why our unity and fellowship is so vital. And God is delivering us from the deception of idols. Heavenly Father, we again thank you tonight for our teaching. Lord, I believe that there's been a great deliverance tonight on this teaching. And Lord, we so easily deceive ourselves. And it's because we still don't want to let go of these idols. These idols are so clever because they make us think that that is our DNA, that is our makeup, that is our character. But your word says that we have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And all the past, all the things of the past, the old, is done away with as far as the east is to the west. Father, may we look to that always, not only in our own lives, but in our brother and sister. And that, Father, whatever weaknesses, blemishes that we see in one another, it doesn't matter, because I am not putting that brother or sister on a pedestal. I'm not expecting perfection from them. Anyone who expects or demands perfection has idolatry in their lives. We should look to ourselves, and it starts with me, because God is creating and working a perfect heart within each one of us. So Father, help us to be those examples in the body of Christ, because by being those examples, we can help and influence others as well. And help us, Lord, to embrace each other with whatever weaknesses or blemishes that we might have, and to embrace and love each other with the love of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will place that within each of our hearts as we are getting free from these idols. We ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Rushes onward, ever growing. cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is